The 1986 Masters was truly one for the books. 46-year-old Jack Nicklaus, who practically rewrote the record books both at Augusta and throughout the game of golf, defied age, the critics, and a new generation of competitors that had seemingly passed him by to earn an all-time best sixth green jacket and an 18th major tournament victory. What made it all the more special was that his son, 24-year-old Jackie, was caddying for his legendary father.
Now, we're going back a long time, but Dad, I always expected, I didn't say I expected Dad to win, but I know that was Dad's objective going into every golf tournament he played in was to win. And I, you know, it was the first time I'd ever caddied at Augusta. I had caddied for him before and had the privilege and honor to watch him win some other events while I was on the bag. And I would think that a win was the objective that week. I know he was playing well, and I never really thought a lot about that he hadn't won for a while. I just knew that I know Dad, and I've seen him get in a zone before. You know, it's just I was just excited about being there. I was more, you know, I've reflected this before, but I think I was probably more concerned about mundane task of carrying the bag and keeping the clubs clean and the yardages correct and helping him out on the golf course as a caddy and a friend and a son. And, you know, Dad took care of the golf. I was just trying to, you know, make sure that I didn't screw up as a caddy.
Nicklaus gave no indication that a win was near with an opening round 74. He rebounded somewhat to card a 1-under 71 in round 2 on Friday. A third round 69 left him at 2-under for the tournament, just 4 back of leader Greg Norman, but in a tie for ninth. Needing to surpass several above him on the leaderboard, Jack didn't generate much of a move at the start, playing an even par through 8 holes. Birdies at 9, 10, and 11, though, would be a sign of things to come.
Is it enough? Is it enough?
Yes!
Three birdies in a row for Nicklaus. 9, 10, 11.
Not even a bogey at the 12th hole, which put him 3 strokes back, would hinder his charge. As Nicklaus gained momentum, the gallery grew and grew louder. For a sport in which rooting interests are rarely detected through the relatively serene atmosphere, it was obvious who everyone was pulling for. The crowd's thunderous cheers were both recognition for what he did throughout his career and what he was doing on this Sunday.
There's no question he was feeding off his emotions, the emotions of the crowd, the appreciation that the crowd had for him. Honestly, I've never seen him tear up throughout a round. I've seen him tear up on an 18th hole when his work was basically finished, but I want to say every single approach, certainly on the back nine, as he approached each green, the roars were fierce. His support was fierce. It was an appreciation for what he was accomplishing that day. It was more than that. It was an appreciation for what he had done throughout his life as a golfer and as an ambassador to the game of golf, what he stood for throughout his life. He's a good man. And his golf fans and the world of golf knew that. And how I perceived it and the reality may be real or not, but that's how I perceived it. And I think there's some accuracy in that, is that, the gallery and those that were supporting him that day, Jack, thanks for what you've meant to the game of golf. Thanks for what you're doing today. And, we're pulling for you. We really want to see this happen. And I think my dad felt the same thing. At 46, he knows that he's not going to get many more opportunities to win a major. And, he's amazed me so many times that when he has a chance, he takes advantage of it. There are a lot of guys have chances that, fall apart, whether it be by nerves or just, you know, squandering the opportunity. And he, time and time again, you know, grabs that opportunity and makes the best of it. And this is what he was doing that that Sunday at Augusta. And he was very emotional and truly teared up. I'm going to say is that he approached every tee and he approached every green. And I watched him, and I was teared up, but I would not let him see my emotions. I didn't want to, you know, get him out of whatever zone he was in. I wasn't going to upset that zone. No way, no how. So I kind of kept myself from making eye contact with him, but I knew that he was wiping tears off his cheeks as I was. And amazing that he kept, you know, recollecting himself you know, getting the job done. He kept making birdies, kept hitting great golf shots. And think about, you know, and again, if you think about the, you know, the overwhelming pressure to perform at that time, knowing this may be your last chance to win a major, you know, let alone, you know, that goes beyond just a chance to win a major, but this might be my last chance to win a major. And, you know, he got it done. He, I don't know many shots that he misplayed.
He certainly didn't miss his eagle attempt at the 15th hole.
Yes, sir! The battle is joined. My goodness. There's life in the old bear yet. Magnificent stuff.
That 12-foot putt pulled him to within two shots of the lead. And then he nearly made good on his first shot at the par 3 16th, coming within inches of a hole-in-one. Nicklaus would sink the short 3-foot birdie putt.
And there's no doubt about it. The bear has come out of hibernation.
The contenders were falling prey to the bear's sudden attack. That included new leader Seve Ballesteros. Already a two-time Masters champion, Ballesteros had gained a reputation as a risk-taker, which more often than not produced positive results. But his boldness would get the best of him. A wayward approach on 15 significantly hurt Seve's chances of a third green jacket.
Oh, he's holding. He has full-hooked that. That's destined for the water.
Meanwhile, Nicklaus was at 17, aiming for the lead. He had an 18-foot putt for birdie.
Well, I know we talked about that putt. Dad, you know, was kind to, you know, make me feel like I was involved in reading the putts. But, you know, how is a 24-year-old kid, and 24 kid, no way, knows those greens as well or better. Certainly not even as well, not even close as my dad. So, you know, he allowed me to talk about the putts throughout the entire tournament. And practice rounds and years before. And we're sitting there on 17, he had a putt, I think, to put him in the outright lead. And I thought the putt went to the right, which would have been away from Ray's Creek, which is at the bottom of the property, down by 12 Green. And he said, I thought it was probably an inch outside the hole on the left side, breaking to the right, and Dad says, "You know what? This is where Ray's Creek comes in play here. The, you know, that has an influence over the entire property." And I don't believe that putt's going to go to the right. In fact, it may go to the left. My dad had it read going slightly to the right, or to the left, excuse me, slightly outside the hole. So I think he compromised because I really saw it going to the right. And if you look at that putt, it looked like it wanted to go to the right about halfway. They had started going to the right, and then it corrected its line and found the center of the hole and My dad has tried to recreate that putt from years. Every year he went back to Augusta and practice rounds, he would go to that same spot. I know the green has been changed a few times in renovations over the years, but he's never been able to create that same putt and have it break the same way. Which, you know, there's magical things that happen at Augusta. And I just hold that in my head that that's one of the magical things that happened at Augusta. The golf gods were smiling on him that day.
This is for sole possession of the lead.
For the first time in this entire Masters, Jack Nicklaus was at the top of the leaderboard.
Isn't this great to see?
He would then walk up toward the famed 18th green to an even greater show of appreciation from the gallery. Jack would make par at 18, leaving him as the clubhouse leader. He had shot a remarkable 30 on the back nine, 65 for the round, and 9 under par for the tournament. But the win and his sixth Masters title was far from secure, and the matter was out of his control.
That was actually a really neat time when I reflect back, because, again, we were on the golf course all day, trying to address business, trying to control emotions, watching my dad try to manage his emotions, and you're so caught up in really every minute on the golf course. There's nice walks between each shot, but I mean, in that situation, the players, I'll just reflect on my dad. My dad is engaged all the time. That's why these guys, I think, are exhausted after a round, because their minds are constantly thinking about the next play and where they are and what they have to do. And, that day my dad had to manage his emotions to a level that I've never seen him before, ever. And so all of a sudden now we're sitting in the cabin, and I want to say it was my mom, myself, my dad's mom, Helen Nicklaus, and me. And we were, I want to say it was the Jones cabin, just there beside number 10T, and we're watching it on TV. Dad had finished. He no longer could control what happened in the tournament. He controlled what he could of that day, which is what he did on the golf course. And now it's actually the first time I saw him nervous all day. I saw him pacing back and forth right behind the couch that was overlooking the TV. And, yeah, we were watching Greg put on a great charge, and Tom Kite put on a charge. And, Seve, I think, kind of shot himself in the foot when he hit the shot at number 15, which took the wind out of his sails. But, you had two guys right at the end that could have forced a playoff or won the event outright. And I'm thinking, gosh, how in the world is Dad going to recollect his emotions and his thoughts and his energies? Because I knew he was exhausted at that point. But I knew that he'd have to recollect himself and go back out there had a playoff been forced.
Ballesteros two-putted on 17 to seal his fate. Tom Kite had a chance to tie with Nicklaus and potentially force a playoff if he could sink a difficult birdie try.
Short.
He barely missed. The last and most serious challenge came from Greg Norman. Overcoming early final round struggles and a double bogey at 10, Norman made 4 straight birdies and headed to the 18th tied with Nicklaus. An approach shot on the green would put him in prime position for, at worst, a playoff.
Look out right side. Look out right gallery. Way back. back into the gallery. Right of the bunker.
Norman did recover, though, and was left with a 15-foot putt to save par.
Jack Nicklaus has just won his sixth Masters. What a tournament.
That is hard to believe. What a finish.
Norman's miss meant Jack Nicklaus, at age 46, was the oldest Masters champion ever.
I remember, you know, we had a great embrace, you know, tears, excitement, and then, you know, he was asked to go out, and I don't know whether it was to go to the press or I just know we walked out of the house, out of the Jones cabin there, and just a roar erupted as, you know, Dad walked out of the door and with clenched fists above his head. It was pretty neat.
Here now is Jack speaking in Butler Cabin shortly after the victory.
I haven't, you know, it's been an unusual year for me. I really have played just awful, and I started playing well about a week ago, and I felt like I could play, and I didn't expect to be in the position to win, but I felt this morning all of a sudden, if I shot 66, I thought I'd tied 65 at win, and it's exactly what happened, and I don't know, but I just kept doing things right this afternoon, and finally made a bunch of putts, and that was what was fun. But it's it was fantastic. The people were fantastic, and all I keep reading in the papers is you just don't win the Masters at age 46, and by gosh, I think they're wrong.
3 decades after the amazing victory, what Jackie remembers most is not the relationship shared as a caddy to golf's greatest player during a sixth and most glorious Masters triumph, but rather the bond shared as father and son, and the special attention his dad gave him after finishing his unforgettable final round on that sun-filled Sunday.
Now, I've always been asked, you know, what's it like to be Jack Nicklaus's son? And I've always, you know, kind of a not be smart aleck, but I've always said, well, you know, he's the only father I've ever had, so what can I compare it to? And, you know, as compared to what? I mean, you know, I've never really understood or asked the question because, you know, Dad was not, to me, he was Dad. He wasn't the guy that everyone saw on TV and on Sunday trying to, you know, chase down his competitors and win a golf tournament. And, you know, the guy doing his endorsements and everything else, he was Dad. He was simply Dad. He was there watching our athletic events and supporting us growing up and giving us advice that was sometimes hard to hear. But, you know, a great father and a great role model. Well, 86, the entire day was incredible. And, you know, as I mentioned, the emotions and watching Dad recollect himself and me doing, you know, the different mundane tasks of yardages and, you know, trying to keep an even kilter, just a friendly environment and helping him do his chores on the golf course. Well, you know, we got to 18 and, you know, Dad had just did whatever he could do that day to, you know, win his sixth green jacket, and the crowd was going nuts. You know, you couldn't hear anything, and it was, you know, it was sweet and it was sad because, you know, the ride was finished that day, but yet the ride was incredible, and, you know, people were just jumping up and down and applauding, and, you know, it was all about Jack Nicklaus, and it was all about my dad and what he had just accomplished that Sunday afternoon. And I can remember, you know, again, I mentioned the mundane task, but again, I had the flag, and I walked out, and I put the flag into the cup, and again, that's something that you do after every hole, and it's a mundane task, and I remember turning around, and, you know, here's a moment where it should have been everything about my dad and Jack Nicklaus. And I was in the same mode, like, wow, you know, this is absolutely incredible what Dad had just accomplished, and whether he wins or not. And I turn around, and there, you know, his dad looking at me right in the eyes, you know, from the edge of the green, you know, not, you know, not really receiving the cheers from all of his fans around him, which, you know, he should have been doing, and he'd have every right to be doing. But, you know, I turned around, he was looking at me right in the eyes, and he made me feel important in that moment, which there was no need for him to make me feel important at that moment, because, again, it was about my dad. It was about Jack Nicklaus. And, you know, that's as simple as that. I knew that I was in his focus. It made me feel important because my dad waited and singled me out and just made me feel incredible to be his son, and to know that what everything that just went on, and this whole scene should have been about Jack Nicklaus, and Dad made that moment in time about me. And you know, that's something I always take with me, and that's kind of, I say that's what it's like to be Jack Nicklaus's son, is, you know, with everything else is going on, he made us feel important. And I think that's a great example to give you insight of who Jack Nicklaus is, who the man is. And that's why I told that story of the Congressional Gold Medal. It wasn't about really what it's like to be Jack Nicklaus' son, but I think that story right there tells more about who the man Jack Nicklaus is than probably any example that I can give you. And I take that to, you know, the next generation now, and I try to, you know, and the messages that I take to my children are, you know, I've been through a divorce, and I've been remarried, and I know many of us out there have, and many of us haven't. And God bless you for those that haven't. It's a tough go, but, you know, the message that I try to get to my kids through it all is, you know, you're always my number one priority, and you know, I love you unconditionally, and you've always got my focus. And you know, that's something that I learned that Sunday, not that I learned just that Sunday in 86, but I had real confirmation that day in 86, and that's something that I always take with me throughout my life, that I will try to, I don't know if transpose is the right word, but that's a principle and a foundation that I'll try to pass on to my children.
What a round. What a player. Beautiful.
Brian Wright, hoping you enjoyed this retrospective of the unforgettable 86 Masters on this edition of Profiles in Sports.